Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
On that hotline, for sure, the most handsome offensive lineman to ever play in the National Football League. Check out his podcast, Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You. That would be Jeff Schwartz. Jeff, good morning to you. How's everything?
I'm good. I'm glad you guys said that. My wife said that also, so I just figured it was true. I don't know why, you know, it wouldn't be. So thank you for introducing me that way.
Certainly. Keep clicking your heels together, look in the mirror, tell yourself, and it's all true.
I've heard your brother contend that he's actually the most handsome offensive lineman in the history of the game, though.
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure Mitch would stake a claim to that. These other things he can say.
Yes. All right. Let's get down to brass tacks here. I want to ask you how we're supposed to read a situation. David DeCastro missed a little time last year. He has not been at minicamp, okay? And it's minicamp. He's a veteran. I get all of that. Trey Turner is seen around the facility a little bit and maybe tinkering with the Pittsburgh Steelers among some other teams. What are we to read into that with DeCastro as a guy who's a former offensive lineman and a guy in you who kind of went through some injury as well? Is there some smoke there with DeCastro? What's happening?
Well, what's his contract situation like is the first question, right? So, like, if he's under contract this year and Pittsburgh would be difficult to move off that contract, then, it's, you know, quite simply, he's playing, right? I mean, that's
he's going into the final year
of his contract and did not get an extension.
Right, but I'm saying, like, if they cut him, for example, or they can't trade him probably, but they cut him, you know, are they going to lose some value there against the cap is really the question. I think we read it very simply, right? They drafted Dotson last year. They drafted Green this year. Now, Green might play center, obviously. But, they're starting to kind of get younger on that offensive line. And without re-signing Castro, it's probably very clear that, they're going to move on from him after the season. I think there could be a lot of changes in Pittsburgh on offense after the season. So it doesn't surprise me that they didn't give him an extension. And maybe Trey Turner is there for some sort of and I think Turner's looking for a place to start, right? So
right.
I don't think he'd start in Pittsburgh, but maybe there for an injury for DeCastro, or maybe one of the young guys is not ready to play this year for whatever reason. So I just think I would read into it is that he's got 1 year left, and that's one more year in Pittsburgh. Like, I know that it's probably Ben's last year, right? And so there's probably going to be a reset after the season with all the older players on the offensive line or on the offense in general. It's really more the offensive line where the older players are at. And then, you know, DeCastro's probably out, Ben's probably out, and you're trying to get younger on offense.
We'll see. Ben has definitely hinted at leaving the door open to this not being the last year. The old, well, we'll see how it goes kind of deal.
Well, I don't think he's going to get to choose that. So he can say that all he wants. Look, I don't know if you guys remember last year. I was one of the first people on the Steelers bandwagon last year. I thought the Steelers were set up for success. I actually picked them as, like, my surprise Super Bowl champion at the beginning of the season. I thought that when you looked at they were 8-8 the previous year with, you know, me throwing the ball at quarterback. And so you add in, you know, you add Ben back in. You have the defense the way it was. And I loved the Steelers last year. I just don't feel as good about them this year because of Ben, right? I mean, we see that quarterbacks of his age, you know, throw Tom Brady out, who never really declined. I mean, at the end in New England there was kind of just a lack of weapons and just the philosophy was probably not what he wanted to be. We saw in Tampa last year, obviously, a different quarterback. But a quarterback who needed a good defense to carry him, right, a good offensive line. I mean, it wasn't just all because of Tom Brady last year. And you look at Ben and you look at other quarterbacks kind of his age, Drew Brees, you know, when the decline happened, and it just kind of happens, right? Eli Manning and Philip Rivers was okay last year, but, you know, the physical decline started. It's hard to kind of come out of that decline. And I look at Ben, kind of the same age as all these players, and starting to decline a little bit last year. And I know, you know, we want to blame the scheme a little bit. I never understood the three-yard RPOs. It's like Ben never figured out how to throw those. I didn't understand that part of the offense. It made no sense to me. When they allowed him to throw the ball downfield, the offense was obviously a little bit better, but we're starting to see that kind of physical decline. And pulling out of that decline and becoming kind of a better quarterback is very uncommon at that age. So I worry that we're seeing kind of the end of him in Pittsburgh, and that typically is not – it's never really a pretty ending, right? If you look at the way, you know, Eli and Breeze and those guys, it's not, it doesn't really end pretty. And so I fear that we're getting that place with Ben in Pittsburgh.
Time now, 8:08, brought to you by Goodrich and Geist. Get the good guys. Goodrich and Geist, Pittsburgh's personal injury attorneys. Jeff Schwartz joining us here, Fan Morning Show. Are the masses in Pittsburgh correct? Are they right that they're already talking about Le'Veon Bell in the same sentence as Najee Harris, who hasn't played an NFL game yet?
I mean, that's a little early. Here's the thing about Le'Veon Bell and that you know, that Pittsburgh offense is that they've paired up very well with scheme and what Le'Veon Bell was really good at, right? Le'Veon Bell was very good at kind of straight-ahead runs, right, where you had the opportunity to kind of hide behind his offensive lineman and then, boom, kind of burst out, right? And you had big, old, physical offensive linemen, a lot of double teams, moving guys off the ball, a lot of that duo play that people talk about all the time, duo or double, you know, very gap scheme heavy. And when I saw the comments, I believe by the owner, right, that he wants to be more physical up front, right?
Right, yep.
Or physical run game. And that to me is not really about Najee Harris, honestly. It's more about the scheme of what they did versus what they're doing now, right? So, you know, back when that offensive line was moving people off the ball, back when Le'Veon Bell was getting a lot of it was under center, it was offensive lineman hand in the ground, and it was just vertical up the field double teams, right? Just we're gonna get big bodies on one defensive lineman and move him off the ball to a linebacker. And it was done over and over and over again, right? So he became very good at those type of plays and those type of blocks. I look at last year's offense. I said this a lot last year. There was some you know, poor run blocking up front. But to me, it was a lot about the scheme, man. It was shotgun. It was very predictable inside zone, right? With a back offset, you don't have many options in the run game. It just was very predictable, and that to me feels like when they say, hey, we need more physical, it's not just saying, hey, guys, go be better at blocking. To me, it's a scheme change. It's kind of going back to, and maybe Najee Harris is signaling that we're going back to more of a power run game, and we're going to go back under center, and we're going to, you know, use play action pass, which they didn't use a lot last season, if I recall, and we're going to just, you know, kind of go back a little bit, go backwards, right? Go back under center a little bit, not so much shotgun, and kind of, you know, make it. I think it's easier on Ben to play action pass. I mean, you're under center. I know he doesn't like it very much. You have to move a little bit more, but you know, you get much better windows to throw into, better, easier reads for him. So that's what I think when I hear want to be more physical. And if Najee Harris does that, so be it. I mean, I'm not a big fan of drafting backs in the first round. And if you draft him in the first round, fine, but never extend a running back. That's even worse. So I hope that, you know, Najee Harris plays his 5 years there and they let him walk afterwards. But I think that's what it is. It's not so much players, but it's a mindset of how you want to run your offense.
Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman, with us here on the Fan Morning Show. The podcast is Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You. Go download and subscribe now. Let me ask you this, Jeff. As a former offensive lineman, in your opinion, this is an offense that could have different starters at 4 of 5 offensive line positions if DeCastro can't start the year healthy. Could be 5 of 5 different offensive line positions with different starters. Do we over or undersell the idea of offensive linemen having to build chemistry with each other in order to get things moving?
No, I think it's real. I think it just depends on kind of what state of your career. For example, everyone looks at the Chiefs, right? They have basically 5 new offensive linemen. And they're like, well, they're going to come in and it's going to be really tough for them to figure it out early on. Well, I mean, really? You know, Joe Thuney's played in 80 games and, what, 3 Super Bowls? I think he'll be fine. Orlando Brown has done a great job in his career, his young career, of, you know, being able to move from left to right. And he didn't miss a beat. And you have Creed Humphreys, who started, you know, with 1,000 games with Oklahoma, played with 3 Heisman quarterbacks. Like, I think those guys will be fine figuring out, especially with Andy Reid in that offense. you know, in Pittsburgh, obviously, with you have now a new OC, and Matt Canada and, like, Big Ben are just two different, like, we're in two different offenses. That's been something to watch out, too. I think it's different because of the youngness and newness of the offensive line of Pittsburgh versus kind of Kansas City has some, you know, guys who play a lot of football. So, yeah, and really a lot of that is built in the offseason. This is why I didn't really get this kind of fight that NFLPA had on not showing up to the offseason program. It didn't make sense to me. A lot of that bonding is done off the field, right? You become closer to your teammates in the locker room and in the meeting room and in the training room and in the hot tub and the cold tub and when you're eating, and that kind of closeness and becoming friends and bonding a little bit, I think really helps in the field. And that's where that starts. And so I'm glad the players did come in and were able to do a little bit of that. And then you just kind of start playing with each other and you're figuring it out and you get used to what the guys do well next to you. And so it might take some time. The one thing that I think is pretty interesting about this season is all the first-year guys last year that played really well on offense, right? Even those quarterbacks, Herbert and Burrow to an extent and whatnot, they didn't play with crowd noise on the road. And this year it's going to be, I think, a shock early on when you're going to certain places and the crowd's there again, right?
Right.
Like, how do you react if you're an offensive lineman? You spend an entire year hearing the snap count, hearing the adjustments, and then you have week one. I don't know where Pittsburgh is week one or week two, and you're on the road for the first time. It's 3rd and 7. The crowd's blaring. You haven't dealt with this in 2 years. And, you know, can you adjust quickly enough to that, you know, to the crowd noise being back? So I think that plays a part in kind of the Steelers and really younger players in the NFL figuring out offense or defense is dealing with the crowd noise again this year. What's going to happen, for example, Justin Herbert, first road game. He was great on the road last year. He was great in Tampa last year. Well, no fans in Tampa last year. How is he going to be his first road game in Arrowhead this season when you got, you know, 75,000 crazy Chiefs fans screaming at him?
Brought to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing, Pittsburgh's leader in trenchless sewer repair, Jeff Schwartz. Jeff, one more thing before we let you go. I saw pictures of Pouncey the other day fishing. He's skinny. We all know Alan Faneca, skinny. Aaron Smith, former lineman here in Pittsburgh, skinny. The linemen having a chance? Do they have a choice to make right when their career's over, whether to take the weight off or not? Because if they wait, they're not going to do it. Like, how does this work for linemen when they're done?
Good question. Because I didn't lose any weight. I think a lot of it becomes like our body structure. If I was this big in college, like I had to lose weight. I always had to lose weight to play. I was heavier as a freshman in college than I am now. So I think that when you are naturally a big guy, losing weight is not going to happen. Like I'm not going to gain a bunch of weight. Like I'm not gaining weight, but I'm also not going to be very skinny. That's just kind of where I am, you know, for Pouncey or for Faneca. I don't know where those guys were in high school. You know, I was 330 pounds in high school. Right. And that's not weightlifting. I didn't weightlift in high school. I wasn't fat. I played 3 sports. Like I was active. I just was a big guy, 330 pounds. So like, I'm not going to lose a bunch of weight when I'm done playing. But if Pouncey was 250 in high school, that's probably where he would be when he retires, right? You stop weightlifting. But I will say, though, I know Faneca is like, isn't he like doing triathletes and crazy?
Yeah, he's crazy all over, stuff. Yeah, like running 10 miles a day and stuff, yes.
So a lot of players, I think, try this, I'm not going to lift anymore. Like Pouncey, I would imagine, he's like, I'm not lifting anymore. And you kind of about 6 months after you stop lifting, you're like, oh, man, I got to start lifting again. Like your body kind of needs that physical activity. So Faneca, for example, you know, even though he's lost a bunch of weight, I'm sure he's working out like crazy, right? Obviously, to do what he's been doing. Like you still kind of need, like I lift. Like I'm going to go lift after this. I still like working out. Your body kind of needs it still. It's a weird feeling after 6 or 8 months you don't really lift. And you're like, oh, man, my body really hurts. Well, how do I help that? You go work out again. So we'll see if some of these guys, you know, Pouncey, for example, he's newly retired, whether he, you know, in 6 or 8 months kind of puts some weight back on because he starts working out heavy again.
Jeff Schwartz, check out the podcast. Jeff Schwartz is smarter than you. Jeff, as always, we thank you. We'll talk again soon.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks,
great,
Jeff.
Great stuff.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.